Three, two, one.
Here we go! Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust, and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future. All related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Desiree Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion at Revive, and I'm joined by co-host Stephanie Weirwool, SVP of Integrated Marketing. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Des. Happy to see you, as always.
Yes, it's like our favorite part of the week to get to just chat all things that are really making us excited about the world and trends and things.
It is, and it's even more exciting because we have a special guest.
We do. We have been talking about and discussing the reshaping of primary care for a while here on the show. But on this week's episode, we'll be getting that inside look at the reinvention from our good friend, friend of the show, friend of the pod, godfather of the pod, Chase Kleckner, senior engagement marketer at Nice Healthcare. Welcome back, Chase.
Hey, thanks for having me. So glad to see you all again. And it's fun being on this side of the show.
Yeah. For those of you, you may remember him as a producer originally of the No Normal, back when he was joined with us on the Revive team. Prior to his time at Nice Healthcare, Chase led marketing efforts at Revive, including corporate marketing, podcast production, website management, inbound lead management, event conference planning, all the things, and so much more. So how does it feel to be back on the show, Chase?
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for thinking of me, and excited to dive in today's conversation.
Of course. You knew that you wouldn't be able to get rid of us. All right. So tell us about Nice Healthcare and what your role there is.
Yeah, so Nice Healthcare basically is an integrated primary care clinic where we're able to basically serve around 90% of people's everyday care needs. And we do that through two avenues, right? We've got, I would say, the at-home care component, and then we've got the virtual care component as well. And so I would say we provide services like, you know, medical visits, medications, labs, physical therapy, x-rays, even mental health support to our members. And I say members because Nice is offered as a benefit to employers. And so employers will add Nice to their benefit package to help, you know, retrain and attract talent, but as well as lower healthcare costs as a whole.
That's awesome. And Chase, I know when you were on the podcast and leading the podcast with us, we had a lot of conversations about primary care and the changes in primary care and reinvented primary care. So this is right in line with that. And I think our listeners have heard a lot of that conversation ever since. It's really exciting what you all are doing.
Yeah, I've been here at Nice for 6 months now, and it's been so fun, just like how we had conversations with clients, but it's fun being on the patient side of things, right? Being able to impact everybody's care, how they navigate it, being able to really address the pain points that we have with healthcare as a whole. And so really being able to see that change come to life in the work that we do every day has been a really neat process.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about what you all are doing just because of, you know, all of the upgrades from our, you know, pandemic life of being able to have all the things just come to us. I remember I got my breaks changed. I was able to just be still at home working on my phone calls, and like there's a person outside changing my breaks. This is amazing. I don't have to go to a waiting room, deal with people. I don't have to people. So it was really exciting to see this from a healthcare standpoint, that there is this point of care delivery delivered literally to your door.
Yeah, it's healthcare on your schedule. Right. It's no longer healthcare that is on the clinician or the provider schedule. It is truly on your schedule, which I think is ultimately what consumers want.
Yeah, that's a joy. So speaking of what consumers want, tell us a little bit about your role, which I believe is in the patient engagement area.
Yeah, so my primary role at NICE is basically overseeing the patient experience outside of the clinical setting. And I know that kind of sounds odd because we typically think about patient experience inside the clinical setting. But really, as a new intern, especially when it comes to healthcare, the way NICE is we're really trying to reposition how people get care. And so the biggest responsibility that I have is making sure that NICE is top of mind the next time our patients have a healthcare need. Right. So engaging them along the way when they don't need healthcare, so that the next time, hopefully they have a health, or not hopefully they have a healthcare need, but they next time they do have a healthcare need, they'll start with NICE.
Yeah. So what does that look like? Because I know that that's something that is a bit of a stress for hospitals and health systems of, you know, keeping that communication, staying top of mind, you know, when you're not in any kind of medical emergency. But when you are like solely dedicated to that patient engagement, you know, like what does that look like? And maybe what's even your day to day?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when we think about engaging patients, I learned a little bit about this at NICE or at Revive is, you got to meet them where they're at, right? You've got to meet patients where they're at, and hardly are they thinking about their healthcare or doctors or hospital visits, right? They're just not, that's not what they think about. There's so much other things going on in the world today that that's not what they are interested in. They're not looking to have a medical procedure if they don't have to. So I think really you get into more of, hey, how do we give them, how do we engage them with topics that are relevant to what they're interested in. And a lot of that is, it's got to still be relative to what you do. So we focus a lot on health and wellness related to as far as how we engage our patients when they don't have a healthcare need or when they're not sick. And I think that's really important, is just whether that's through social or through email or through video, right? How are you coming up with content or other different strategies of, hey, we're talking about things that you're talking about, and making sure it's still relevant to them. But I would say that's one of the key areas, is just trying to say, hey, we're not going to just push our services, but we're going to push information that you care about already.
Yeah, interesting. And I'm just kind of scanning some of the Instagram here, and I see all kinds of interesting things like, you know, what is a migraine? How do you treat it? Why can't I sleep at night? 5 reasons to try virtual care the next time you're sick, in addition to, you know, very specific service offerings. So are those some of the things that you're referring to in terms of like the, as we call them at Revive, the living moments, as opposed to the thinking and the solving, getting inside people's living moments with ongoing engagement?
Yeah, I think those are exactly some of those moments. And then obviously throughout the year, I would say maybe some other moments, like right in the spring, you've got allergies, right? So what we're trying to do is build association with NICE. So if there's allergies, great, let's talk about allergies. And they realize, oh, okay, that's something that NICE can help me with. So we're building that association. Or maybe it's the fall, right? You've got the flu season, of course. But even things like sports physicals, right? We're able to bring that to your home. You don't, if you got 3 kids, guess what? You can do all 3 of them at the same time. So I think it's really just trying to figure out how can we build those associations in those moments throughout the year that, hey, guess what? I'm going to start with NICE, or I'm going to, you know, think of NICE in that way. Because I think in a lot of times with healthcare in general, people default to what they did in the past. And that's, I think, probably one of the biggest challenges with being, let's say, a new entrant in the space, is you've got to reshape that a little bit, right? They've got to try something new that maybe they've never tried before. And a lot of times when you have a healthcare need, it's not necessarily a crisis moment, but it's not something where you're like, oh, I'm going to try something new in this moment, right? Like a lot of people and consumers will navigate to, hey, what I did in the past worked. Maybe it wasn't perfect, but it did the job. And so just really reframing kind of that mental model people have of how to access care.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So let me give a personal anecdote, and you can tell me if you all see this or maybe if it's different, but I'm currently shopping, if I can use that term, for kind of a primary care addition like I have a primary care physician that fills a role, but I want more of a long-term, you know, kind of overall health support. And so I'm shopping several of the new primary care entrants. And I think the reason I bring that up is it's not because I have an immediate health need, although I have a long list of them I'd love to talk about, but it's not an urgent need. It's more of a, you know, kind of thinking about 2023 and my, you know, goals for myself. Is it that kind of thing that you're referring to there, Chase, where you say people maybe when they have an urgent need, they know where to go. They go to urgent care, they go to the ER, but this is more for those like overall partnerships. Is that how you all think about it or no?
So I think when it comes to healthcare in general, right, we avoid care at all cost, right? So like, I think you, we all say like, oh, is this worth it? Is this not worth it? And I think the difference, I mean, like, for, especially for NICE, right? This is healthcare that's already been paid for by the employer. So this offering is free completely to the employees. So there's no question mark of like, is this the thing that I should be doing? Is it worth it? Is it worth my time? Right, you've eliminated, I think, the two biggest pain points in healthcare, which is cost, like, and then convenience. So if you can eliminate those two barriers, I think, one, you go from reactive healthcare in general to proactive, which I think is exactly what you're talking, Stephanie, of like, how can I be more proactive in my care? And when you allow, when you minimize those two pain points, I would say, then you actually get people to be proactive in their care versus I'm only going when it's an emergency or I've waited way longer than I should have. And so I think the beauty is that you get to see people go into that more proactive care versus, oh man, this has gotten way too bad. I need to go into an ER or an urgent care or whatnot.
Yeah. And it's almost like a stage of life thing as well. Whereas, you know, Stephanie, I look to you as like that person that has their life together and they're actually being more proactive. I'm going to follow your footsteps one day. But, you know, depending on your age range, you know, it is in top of mind. You're just like, oh, I'm trying, like you said, Chase, I'm just trying to stay away from it. But really what we all should be doing is staying on top of it to make sure that we are good. But it's because once we get to the points where we have these multiple conditions, comorbidities, and all that good stuff, you're kind of looking back and you're like, wow, I had every opportunity to stay out of here in a different way by being proactive and having that care. But yeah, so as we're talking about the way that you know you're working with employers and connecting, they probably think of you, or when they are thinking of this, or thinking of a, like an MD Live, a telehealth. And how do you navigate those conversations of letting them know that you're different?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to establishing differences, right? I think we all know the advantages of virtual care. Right. I think there's so many advantages to virtual care, whether it's cost related, right? Virtual care tends to be cheaper. And that's a great option. And it's also very convenient, right? You can get a virtual visit usually within the same day, maybe within the same 2 days or 3 days. So you've got that aspect. But I think when it comes to if you're only a virtual care offering, like if that's all you have, there's a lot less services that you're able to provide for patients, right? Because we've have that, I would say we're more of a hybrid model. We've got the virtual component, but we've also got that at-home care component. So on average, I would say our services are utilized 3 times more than just virtual care organizations because you're able to do a lot of those at-home services, right? You can do a blood draw from someone's home. You don't have to send them to a lab to get that done, or you can do an x-ray at home, which I was completely flabbergasted by that you could do that. Like if you break a bone, please go to the ER. But like, let's say you fall on the steps and you catch yourself with your wrist and it, and you don't know what's happening, right? That's a perfect example of like, I don't need to go to the ER right now, but I feel like something happened. Then we'll send like a mobile x-ray unit to your home. Boom, you get the results right away. And because of that, I think the advantages of being able to have that hybrid model, you still have the convenience of it coming to you, but it's much more than just what we can do through virtual care.
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible employer benefit, right? I mean, I'm thinking about the direct tie for employers, which is the x-ray one, for example. It takes so much time to go to the ER or go make an appointment, time out of the workday. And so having that ability to have someone come to you, like Des said, she experienced with her car, but for x-rays, that's huge. So there's clearly a direct line to, you know, the benefits of being an employer and productivity. And of course, for the employee, for the patient, in terms of, as you said, you know, earlier, Chase, like the convenience, the access, you know, it's a benefit. It's already there. I mean, it's just seems quite revolutionary.
Yeah. And I think with that, like we've all gone maybe to our PCP or an urgent care. We're like, yeah, you're going to have to go to the ER to get an x-ray. And you're like, oh gosh, okay, here we go. Like, let me set aside 2 hours and then I'll get a bill a month later. Like, you know, it's the worry and stress that causes, I think is a lot for a patient, right? If you're going and getting an unexpected bill of, I have no idea what this is going to cost me, even if I have good insurance at the same time, right? Let alone the convenience, but I think the cost is a huge component to that, as well as I'm going to get this x-ray and it's not going to cost me anything. Like, it's pretty, like, you don't realize how life-changing it can be when you have something that's healthcare, that's, you know, costing an arm and a leg.
Literally. I wonder if we shift a little bit, unless Des, you have any additional questions. I was thinking we shift to 2023, but do you have any additional questions for Chase on these topics?
Well, the only question I had was that, you know, we're talking about all of the great stuff, what you're doing. It's amazing. It's like revolutionary. However, like, give us the nitty gritty. What are the hurdles that you have to get over when you're looking at engaging with these patients?
Yeah. I mean, I spoke to it a little bit earlier, right? I think being a new intern, it's really hard to shift how people have navigated care in the past, right? I think you default into maybe what you've, whether it's, I'm going to go to an urgent care or go to a walk-in clinic or go to the ER, whatever, that's what people have done for the last, let's say, if you know, 30 years. To shift that is difficult. And even really just having that top of mind, like, you know, I've got my three options of healthcare, right? To be included in that top, you know, list of three, that's our goal is to kind of be in that mix. And then I think another big hurdle is ensuring patients know what we do, right? I know that sounds weird, but like, even if you think about a walk-in clinic, it's like, is that covered? Are they able to do that, right? We have that same issue of, okay, what can NICE do and what services are there? And I think the biggest thing that we've found is like, be simple, right? We can do a lot. We can do physical therapy. We can do mental health. You know, we can do labs and x-rays. But like, the biggest thing that we've learned is just be simple, right? Look at what people tend to use you for first and promote that to patients and members first, because that's what's going to create, I think, the best thing about it is we have amazing clinicians on our team, and they are able to create that word of mouth, which is the most powerful tool that we have as a marketer, is if it's positive. If we can get them in the door and they have the experience, we tend to see really great utilization of the members within that employer group, greatly increase after a few, I would say, members have tried it for the first time.
I think that's a huge aha and a big takeaway, which is sometimes it's easy, you know, in healthcare marketing to want to try to explain to everybody, here's all the things, you know, here's a web page that's really, really long. It has all these details that nobody can sort through. But, you know, to your point, if you position yourself as a partner, as, you know, a great experience, then people can simply ask, can you do this? Right. And they can come to you and kind of have that conversation. So I love that of, you know, keeping it simple, making it a great experience, convenience first, experience first, and the details will follow.
Yeah. I think once you have understanding, you can get adoption. And that's what we're after is just being clear and simple in how we describe what we do, what services we offer, because if we can do that, if they can understand that, the adoption, the engagement will happen from there.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, awesome takeaway already. So I want to hear from you, Chase. We are rolling into the end of the year, rolling into the new year. Trends abounding in terms of what's coming up. I know you know you're a very forward, future-looking person, and so is Nice Healthcare. So as you look ahead, you know, what are some of the things that you're seeing come down the pike? Maybe we just start with patient experience. What are some of the things that you're thinking about and trying to get ahead of?
I would consider myself an optimist for most of the part, but I'm not going to go that direction with this one. I think in patient experience, especially in healthcare, I truthfully don't think it's going to change that much next year. I just like how we've seen Blockbuster and Redbox. It takes an outsider to deliver entertainment in a totally different way. And I'm not saying Nice is doing that altogether. I think there are so many organizations already delivering care in a different way. But I think, unfortunately, it is going to be up to a lot of those new entrants to reshape how care is delivered on patient schedules versus our physician schedules. And so I think maybe my downside or downer prediction for 2023 is I don't know if patient experience is all going to get all of that better. Not next year, maybe in the next couple of years, but we'll see.
Yeah, industry wide, right? It's a large ship to turn.
That's right.
But it takes folks like you and your team that are making incredible strides.
Yeah, but so what about from a marketing standpoint, especially, you know, from where you sit within the patient engagement? Do you see any predictions, any trends, any what have you as we're going into 2023 when it comes to the marketing and just overall how we're communicating, talking, engaging with patients?
Yeah, Des, that's a great question. I think to me, the word that comes up is authenticity. Like, I just think authenticity is going to grow. I think there's a desire for authenticity among brands, among consumers. I mean, you see that with like the Be Real app, right? I think people want just a non-perfect representation of what it means to be a part of a brand or just lifestyle as a whole. I think in healthcare specifically, what does that look like? I think that's just, when you're communicating to consumers, to brands, you have to come down on their level, right? I think part of my job here at Nice is, okay, we cannot speak that way. Like, that is way too high level. Let's bring it down a lot. Like, we just gave a webinar actually on chronic pain yesterday. And it's so interesting to see, like, our clinicians and a lot of people in the healthcare space have experienced this. It's like, trying to get them to not speak in a clinical way is actually really difficult for them because that's how they were trained. That's how they communicate, even though they communicate with patients all day long. I think bringing our communication down to where it's not talking down to patients, it's speaking to them as a friend. I think we've all had colleagues or friends where maybe they're a medical provider and we call them and say, hey, we've got this issue. And they just talk to you like, you know, a friend, and they make it really easy. That's what I think we have to do with our communication style, how we communicate, the channels we communicate through. So just bringing authenticity through and throughout.
Yeah, I love what you said, because I know we've talked on the show a couple different episodes around like the code switching, right? This is another version of that in the sense of, throughout this working from home, for some of us that are still doing it, our significant others or others in our lives, like they've heard us in our work calls and like how we talk, our corporate speak, our marketing speak on the phones with colleagues versus, you know, how we talk with them and they're like, who is this person in the room? It's about that same thing when you're communicating with your patients. It's like you do have to get outside your head, yourself, out of your corporate speak, your medical speak, in order to, you know, speak in the language of the person that's right in front of you.
Yeah. And I think when we're in that healthcare moment, right, I think we are pretty distracted and we're pretty stressed out. And I think when you find patients in that moment, right, their understanding of what you're saying is it's actually really difficult to comprehend because of those stress levels. And so I think you even have to make it more simple than you think you need to. And so just keeping that in mind of a lot of times we go to the doctor and we're like, I don't know what they said. Like, I can't even remember it. I think just let's keep it simple.
Yeah, I know people who actually intentionally bring a recording device into doctor's appointments because they know they're going to need to listen to it 5 times and Google half the stuff in there, which is smart. I mean, let's do that and obviously legally tell them we're doing it. But, you know, it's for that reason, because you're trying to figure it out. But from a marketing standpoint, you know, Des and I and Chase, you do this all day too. All healthcare marketers, we're constantly assessing and taking a look at our own, you know, landing pages and websites, but taking a look at competitors, and the jargon is significant. The jargon bar, the reading grade level, it's beyond a college reading grade level, right? It's a medical school reading grade level. And it's not inclusive, not just for all audiences, but for anybody. So I think that's a huge part of marketers' jobs. And I would say if that's all we did in 2023, that would be a very successful year. If all we did as healthcare marketers was make language and content and visuals inclusive and accessible and easy to understand, conversational, huge win.
Yeah, I think I can't remember the exact stat on this, but I think when someone is in a traumatic state, which I think a lot of times if you're in a hospital setting, right, you would consider that. The reading level goes to 4th grade, which is just dramatic, right? I think if we realized what that meant when we're writing up our blog posts or we're writing up our briefs, if we brought that to the table of, okay, let's really bring this down, I would say we're at a college level at sometimes, right? Or currently maybe even high school if we're doing a good job. But I think let's find ways to meet patients kind of in that trauma moment by speaking to them a little bit more clearly.
Like, what are some other gems, some insights like that you have found from being at NICE and just being more focused on the patient, meeting them where they are?
I mean, I think the biggest thing, I listen to patient interviews a lot, right? We have a patient council where we interview them. We ask them questions on a quarterly basis. And I think it's the interesting thing is people are just so hesitant when it comes to care. And I know we know that, but like, just look at our own lives, right? Look at how many times we have said, I'm not going to, it's fine. It's an ache of pain. And we wait to the last moment, right? Or we wait till it gets really bad. And I think we have to realize that's a natural tendency of patients and how they navigate care. And unfortunately, you have to be empathetic for that. And I think what maybe one thing I've realized also is working with a lot of clinicians, which I hadn't necessarily done at my time at Revive, and more and working with marketers, is the clinicians are the life and bread of your company, right? I think we all know that. But when clinicians feel like they are doing their job to the best possible way, right? When they actually have the time, right? I think that we're seeing a ton of turnover. We're seeing a lot of staff coming in. And we have. That's been a trend because of COVID. And trying to provide a patient experience very similar is really difficult when you have so much turnover. But I think one of the unique things that I've seen is our clinicians are able to spend with a virtual visit 40 minutes with their patients and an hour with an at-home visit. And I think when clinicians know that they are doing everything possible versus kind of looking at their watch and saying, oh, shoot, I got to get to the next patient, they're able to provide a better experience. And the patients are able to walk away with a better experience as well. So I think we didn't talk much about the clinician experience in this conversation, but their experience with your brand and healthcare in general is just as important as the patient experience.
Yeah, this has been truly enlightening, eye-opening, and it's got some ideas like spinning in our heads, I'm sure. But before we wrap, is there Any other like key thoughts, insights that you'd like to share? Something that we didn't get to touch on in this convo that you'd love for the listeners to know?
I mean, I think if anyone's in charge or contributing to patient experience, I think you just start with your own. Like, I think if we've all had pain points, we've all had misunderstandings of how to navigate care. Like, for example, if I start with me, I just tried to make a doctor's visit for my oldest daughter. And they said, the next available appointment is in 92 days. And I was like, I mean, they didn't say 92 days. They said like in 3 months or whatever. But I was like, what? Like that. I mean, I know there's probably a marketer within that, clinician's office that's probably like banging their chest or like, yes, look how good we're doing. Like, we built out the schedule for 3 months. But in what world does that say this is care on patient's terms, right? Nobody wants to wait 3 months to be seen for the first time. And so I think maybe if we were really honest, we're not as patient focused as we think we are. And if we start with our own experiences and our own frustrations with care, I think we can make a lot more headway that way than getting caught up with all the kind of red tape that is in the healthcare space.
Yeah. And there's empathy in that too, right? Like, knowing the emotions of it and knowing how it feels. And that's so important. I mean, obviously, you know, add on to that, you know, your own experiences, research and all kinds of things, but sometimes it's easy to forget the human feelings. So I love what you just shared, Chase, because, you know, I think we can all take that forward and try to relate to what our patients need and our clinicians need.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's wrap the show up. Chase, always dropping the gems. It was so great to see you again, have you back on the show, and hopefully we'll get to continue this chat again. But thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Desiree. Thanks, Stephanie. Great to see you as always.
You too.
And so for all of you listening, thank you so much for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover, shoot us an email at nonormal@reviveagency.com. And make sure to share the show with your friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. All of that would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all. And we will talk to you and see you in a few weeks. 3